The following is a RockRadioShow.com exclusive.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket,
my little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with our delayed Halloween Spooktacular. Happy November, everybody. We're a little late to the party on this, but that's okay. Sorry about that. I had to travel on Halloween, so I couldn't be here to do it, but that's okay because we're going to make up for it because we're talking Crown Jewel a little bit, not a lot. Because things happened after Crown Jewel that are a little bit more important, namely SmackDown. The SmackDown throwdown lives, guys.
We tried to get rid of it. We tried to get rid of it. We tried to throw it away, just toss it away to the side, never to use it again. And we've done it so many times since we've done that. So it's like...
it's worse than the pop-up zombies in Fortnite. It just won't die.
It just won't die. For the SmackDown throwdown lives on.
So we're going to be talking about that because we do need to talk about it. And then we're going to be talking just a little bit of NXT just because things happened on NXT as well that we need to discuss. So let's not waste any time and jump right into Crown Jewel, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And this was an interesting show all the way around.
It was. It was indeed an interesting show. But we need to talk about the big story coming out of the show. Mansoor won his big hometown match. Okay.
Go, Mansoor!
Okay, that really wasn't the big story coming out of it. No.
But it's a big story for him.
It
because
is.
Because he's from there. He won in front of his hometown crowd. They were all super excited. He was, like, very emotional. He was inspiring people. They let him make a little speech. Like, I thought it was really sweet that they did that for him.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought him and Cesaro had a good match, and it was the right finish in the right spot for the right moment. See, WWE can put over the hometown hero.
When they want to.
When they want to.
When they want to.
When they want, but no, history was, in fact, made at Crown Jewel. The women got to wrestle. When we previewed the show, we didn't even talk about it because it was not even announced, but Natalya took on Lacey Evans.
This was a really, really cool moment, just given the political climate in Saudi Arabia. I understand a lot of people don't like them, justified, but there are changes happening in that country. Women can now drive, and this is another step in the right direction for women's rights in Saudi Arabia, the fact that they let the women wrestle for WWE at the show. They did wear special gear where basically Natty wore her gear with a t-shirt over it, and then Lacey was essentially wore like sweats or a tracksuit or something with a t-shirt over it and was completely covered. They both were like head to toe.
Okay, it's going to sound wrong. I didn't recognize Lacey when she came out.
No, I did not recognize Lacey either. Like, they did her hair, but without her gear, she looks obviously completely different. Like, just completely different. So, not that it was a bad different. It was just like, whoa, that's Lacey all covered up. It was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really, really weird. And it wasn't a barn burner, okay? I'm just going to say that up front, but
I can explain how it was. It was an exhibition showcase match.
Basically, they were not allowed to slap each other around. They were not allowed to throw punches at each other. They kind of threw each other around a little bit. There was a lot of grappling holds. There was a lot of technical wrestling involved, which is why Natty is the perfect person to do this. And yeah, they did not have the barn burner of a match that you wanted them to have. But the fact that they got to do the match at all is amazing. And therefore, it's epic in and of itself. And this opens the door that maybe next time they go, if they go, because we'll get to that, that maybe the women get to do a little bit more and maybe more women get to go.
Yeah.
This is the first one. And congratulations to Natty. Congratulations to Lacey for getting to do that, because I think they went and they didn't find out until they got there that they were going to get to do the match.
Yeah.
It was very much a last minute announcement for the show.
It was. So it's great that they were able to do it. Great they were able to perform. Hopefully now that they've experienced it, it means they can actually do their thing properly next time.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So we found out who is the best in the world in terms of tag teams.
And it wasn't the Viking Raiders. I was a little upset.
No. No, it wasn't the Viking Raiders. Wasn't the Lucha House Party. It wasn't Ziggler and Rude. It wasn't Heavy Machinery, but they were good.
It wasn't even New Day.
Wasn't even New Day or the B Team or the Revival. It was the OC. The only club that matters.
All right. I'll take that. I'm all right with that.
It was very acceptable. They set up the tag team title match for SmackDown perfectly in this matchup. Sad it didn't happen. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. Rude and Ziggler were good in this one. Otis is over no matter where he goes.
Oh my god, Otis is so over. And I love Otis. I love Otis. Oh, and one thing, sorry, to go back to the women's tag match real quick. They were very well received.
Yeah.
By the crowd. Especially the women and the little girls. They kept showing the women and the little girls, and they were so excited. Like, the men were too, but like the women especially were super excited to see Natty and Lacey. Anyway, going back to the tag match.
Back to tag team turmoil. So yeah, the OC are the best in the world.
Which works perfectly, because when they helped AJ Styles with his match, they came out with the trophy. So now you have the OC carrying around this giant trophy and AJ Styles with his title. So it's perfect.
So speaking of AJ Styles, he defended the title against Humberto Carrillo, who won a battle royal on the pre-show, which Harper and Rowan just dominated.
We got a Bludgeon Brothers reunion, and it made me so happy.
I like that Erger's like telling Luke, yeah, get rid of him, and it'll be me and you. So Luke goes to eliminate Humberto, and then Erger goes from behind and eliminates Luke, and then Humberto sneaks underneath and throws Eric Rowan out to get the win. I thought it was really creative.
It's a little bit of a betrayal, but that's okay.
It is.
It's fine.
Also news on that from the Battle Royal. R-Truth became the 24/7 champion once again.
For 5 seconds.
For a few minutes, and we had it for about 2 hours. And then lost it back to the Sings. So, there you go. Also, on this show, let's talk about Team Hogan versus Team Flair.
All right, I have a comment I have to make. I have to say this, and it's a legitimate question because I really seriously want to know. So if anybody from Saudi Arabia happens to listen to this and happened to be at that show and can possibly answer this question, I would very much appreciate it. And I mean all respect when I ask this question. But were people, mainly women, possibly men, throwing their underwear on the ramp when Randy Orton, Baron Corbin, and Ricochet all came out? Because I swear to God, at least for Orton, that was a pair of panties.
I'm not kidding. They were small, they were lacy, they were black, and they looked like a thong. And it was not a bra. I swear to God, somebody did it for at least Randy Orton, and I want to know if that was in fact the case.
So staying on garments, as it were, history was made in this matchup, Lindsay. Baron Corbin had gear.
He did. He has gear. It looks so much better. It looks so much better. Oh my God. Because he looked a little skanky. I'm not going to lie. Like the crown and the scepter and the cape are all so super nice. And then those would come off and he'd just be in those black pants and this black wife beater. It looked a little skanky, a little redneck. It still looks kind of redneck, but it's fancy redneck. So I think it's okay.
Yeah. Team Hogan got the win. It was your typical 10-man tag. Everyone got to do their spots.
It's strict fan service. And I appreciate that they did fan service, that they just had as many people on the show as they could, and the crowd was into it, and that's all that matters. So.
And Team Hogan got the win, brother.
And Hulk Hogan renamed Byron Saxton.
Beautiful Byron. Also, what in the blue hell was Ricochet wearing?
I don't know, but I think Vegeta's voice actor from Dragon Ball Z, or one of the Dragon Ball Z voice actors, tweeted about it and was super excited.
Hold on. You brought that up. Someone tweeted me. Hold on. I'm on Twitter's
phone. Someone tweeted you?
About, because I asked what he was wearing. It's a character from anime.
Yeah, it's Dragon Ball Z, I think.
Okay. I thought someone else. Also, if someone tweeted, I think he got that outfit from Sasha Banks.
Well, I mean, he could.
He could have. But, so yeah, because I know I remember someone during the show tweeted me about it. So, there you go. So Team Hogan with Rowan pinning Orton for the win. But then we got to talk about the three big matches on this show. The big spectacles, as it were. Night kicked off with the WWE Champion, Brock Lesnar, going up against Kane Velasquez for the championship.
No. Rey Mysterio's father, Kane Velasquez, get it right.
The godfather of Dominic, Kane Velasquez, along with Rey Mysterio, came to the ring. They had their match. Okay, what I liked about this one, okay? Mm-hmm. It was not a wrestling match. It was straight up MMA. And they went in there, they were throwing their shots, they were doing it like they would be in a cage. The referee would step in, break them apart. Kane went for the ground and pound, took control for a moment, but Brock quickly applied the Kimura to get the win. It was quick, it was effective. It's an MMA fight. MMA fights don't typically go 25 minutes, especially these two. They're known for quick fights, so that's what happened. Kane came in hurt. You can play on that. He was attacked later after the matchup by Brock. F5's him on a chair, so Kane's on his way out. Rey got revenge with the steel chair. The story was right. Brock got his moment and did everything he needed to. He got his revenge. If you were expecting a 20-minute wrestling classic, you were you're watching the wrong show. I thought this was fine. I enjoyed it, the couple minutes that it was.
This was everything it needed to be. I'm sorry. It was. This was going to be a straight-up MMA fight. Because while Kane has been wrestling, or he's been learning how to wrestle, I don't think he's quite there yet. But he's very, very good for what he knows. And honestly, Brock is not a technical wrestler in this format. He's a brawler. And when you're putting a brawler against a brawler, they just need to brawl. They need to fight each other. They need to beat each other up. They don't need to have a 20-minute classic. They don't need to go 17 rounds. This was everything it needed to be. You had Kane get a little offense. You had Brock get a lot of offense in. They fought. There were kicks and punches and throwing and everything else that goes on in a typical MMA fight. Kane threw a couple of really beautiful kicks. He's flexible. Mm-hmm. Because I've actually never seen him fight before. Because UFC's way too expensive. So I've never seen Kane Velasquez actually fight, so it was nice to see him kind of do a little bit of exhibition stuff here. But yeah, I thought this was fine. And in the end, you had Brock, like you said, get his essentially revenge. He got payback for the fact that Kane Velasquez essentially retired him from MMA, or he was one of the people that retired Brock Lesnar from MMA. So Brock gets his payback on Kane here by tapping Kane out. Now he's not going to retire him, but basically, it's the feel-good moment for Brock. It's the service for Brock.
And now they're 1-1, which means they can come back to it.
Yeah. And you sort of made up for it in the end by having Rey Mysterio get in the ring afterwards and beat Brock Lesnar with the chair.
Which we have more on in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The other big spectacle on the show was Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury, the linear heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Okay, the match sucked. Flat out sucked.
Yeah, the match was not that great.
But
the crowd was super into it.
The Tyson had a great entrance, but I'll give Tyson Fury all the credit in the world. He took bumps. He did a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't even be doing. He went in there as a guy who's never had a match, had a match. It sucked. It wasn't that great. But for a guy who's never had a match, it came off okay for him. You can tell he was having fun in there. They also protected Strowman a little bit by having the count. He got knocked out on the outside and got counted out. So Tyson got the win. But yeah, the entrance was the highlight of the match, which was great. It popped the crowd, and it's just one of those things. By the way, Tyson Fury, new Undertaker.
No, he's not.
Why? But he did the sit-up.
There is more to the Undertaker than just the sit-up.
So if he learned the eye roll, would then he be the Undertaker?
No.
You sure?
There's only one.
I've counted two in my lifetime.
There's one.
There were two.
There's only one. The other one was a fake.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just...
It's two different people.
They look very similar.
Yes, they did look very similar. They could have been twins, but...
Twinning!
But no, I have to give all the credit, like you said, to Tyson Fury in the world, because normally when it's like a celebrity match, it's never great. Like, I think the best one was probably Stephen Amell, but like, typically they protect them, they don't have them do a lot, and it's generally a tag match. It's very rarely a singles match. So the fact that it was singles, it was Braun versus Tyson, and Tyson just went for it, man. Like, he was all about this. He was into it. Like you said, he was taking bumps and he was getting into the fight. You know, you could tell that Braun was being really gentle with him, especially when he did the run around the ring to do the shoulder hit on the outside. Like, Braun barely touches him kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I felt like this was, for what it was, which it was not the best wrestling match, it was pretty entertaining and it was fun. And in the end, Tyson Fury picks up the win. He took off his singlet, and I'm pretty sure there was ass crack hanging out, because they would not shoot him from a certain point down. So I think he didn't realize that he was like ass out there. But yeah, I thought it was I thought it was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. I mean, that was a lot of this show was, it was all just strictly entertainment. It was all fan service.
Yeah.
Cause it's a one-off show. Mm-hmm. So, and that's fine. It was entertaining. That's what it was. It was actually pretty entertaining, which is what you want.
And then you had your main event. Falls count anywhere, there must be a winner for the Universal Championship. Seth Rollins defends against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
So, I really hope that the red lighting is not going to be a thing every time The Fiend wrestles. And here's why. Because after a while, it really, really hurts your eyes.
Yeah.
And I understand that The Fiend, they're trying to make him feel very special, and I respect that. But it's like a Hell in a Cell, it was a one-off, it was cool, because it almost made the cell disappear. Here, it was still kind of cool, because they were in a dark stadium, you've got the red lighting, it's outdoors, there's an eerie quality to it, because it's on Halloween, so it's appropriate that you have the red lighting, but just... Every time The Fiend wrestles, I just don't want that effect. I feel like they could do it without the red lighting. Like, they could dim the lights, and it would probably have a very similar feel. Mm-hmm. But that's me. In terms of this match, they tried to murder each other. This was one of the better matches on the card. This was probably the best match of the night, for sure, at least for me, just based on the outcome. And... there were a lot of, I feel like, unnecessary risks that were taken in this match. Namely, towards the end, where they do the dive, or Bray does the dive into the electrical equipment. And there's, like, smoke and fire extinguishers, and Seth thinks he's killed him. And, of course, you know, it's Halloween, so Bray Wyatt will not die and he gets up.
That was
and
he that
loops
was
the, over Seth.
That was legit the point when they were on the stage and Seth had like 17,000 stomps, and he threw him off the stage. I was like, oh no! I was legit yelling at my TV, "Get up, Bray! Get up, Bray! If you don't get up, you're dead, Bray! Get up now, Bray! Come on!" Because it's like the character would have been dead if he didn't get up.
Yeah. Thankfully, he got up. Thankfully, Bray Wyatt hits the Sister Abigail on Seth Rollins outside by the stage. 1, 2, 3. Your new Universal Champion, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
So now, at this point, there are two belts on Friday Night SmackDown.
Which is a little awkward.
A little awkward. We're going to get to SmackDown here in a moment. But we need to talk about the elephant in the room.
No, I want to finish talking about this, and then we can talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
I just want to make this comment, and I said it to you when I got home on Thursday, because while I was gone, I got chances to check social media, and I saw what happened. Like, I saw the outcome, and I knew Bray had won when I got home, which I'm super excited about. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm absolutely thrilled that they gave him the title, and he's the champion, and that's amazing, and that's awesome. But I still maintain that they could have done that at Hell in a Cell.
Oh yeah.
And it would have been fine. Like, it would have been absolutely fine.
Yeah, it would have been perfect.
Like, because you could have technically moved Cain Velasquez to, or you could have moved Rey Mysterio to SmackDown and had the same essential result of what you had out of Crown Jewel. But it is what it is. Bray Wyatt is a champion, so everything's fine. The Fiend is the champion. And, well, we would have gotten to see The Fiend as the champion on Friday, except there was a small, and when I mean small, I mean absolutely major catastrophic problem that occurred for WWE, which was that the majority of their talent got stranded Thursday night into Friday morning and all day Friday, and actually most of the day today as well. Because something happened. Nobody knows what happened, but essentially Brock and Hogan and Vince and a few other people got out of Saudi Arabia, and then a travel hole got slapped on the crew and the talent that were still there, and they were held. They could not leave.
They were on the plane for hours, and then they were taken off the plane back to the hotel. Because they were not allowed to leave. About 20 wrestlers were able to get out. Not the talking about Brock and Hogan and stuff and Flair. They were on separate charters, but there was another charter that got out. About 20 talents who were headed to SmackDown did not arrive for SmackDown because they were also delayed. But yeah, the majority of the crew got home Saturday afternoon Eastern time. There are reports of what it's about. But the official report, it was mechanical issues with the plane. The airline has come out and talked about it. There's a full statement on WWE.com about it. There were mechanical issues with the plane that caused things to, well, delay talent from leaving. And thankfully, they've all made it home safe. And I have a feeling a lot of talent's not going to want to go back over.
Well, depending on the rumors that are circulating, because the main rumor that ties everything together is that there are some money issues going on somewhere between some people, but nobody knows really what they are. Nobody knows if that's true, but that's essentially, you can look them up. You can see for themselves. We're not going to kind of qualify them because we don't know if they're true or not. And it's just, there's so many stories flying around right now that it could be true, they could be not true, but to go off the official statement, which is mechanical problems, it's very likely that could have been true. And not to toot my own horn, but I used to work in the airline industry, and depending on what the mechanical issue was with the plane, they may not have had either the parts there or have been able to get another plane there to take everybody home. And so depending on what it was, they may had to bring something in. And for Saudi Arabia, it's either got to come in from Europe or it's got to come in from Asia, or God forbid they have to bring it in from the United States. That would be super awkward if they had to. But that could be one of the reasons for the delay. I don't believe that just because they were kept on the plane. Typically, when there are mechanical problems with an airplane, it goes back to the gate and they take everybody off the plane because they have to. Because they have to work on it, especially if it's any kind of like landing gear or tires or anything like that, because typically they have to jack the plane up. And so they have to take all the people off to jack the plane up. But I don't know if that's the case. But them being held on the plane, which that sucks. That so sucks to be stuck on an aircraft for hours, especially as hot as it is over there. Oh my God.
And that is why planes there leave at night rather than during the day, because of the heat and stuff.
Yeah, and the heat could have been playing a factor with it, too. We just don't know.
That's why, they could have just gone, if there was mechanical issues, why did the people go out in the middle of the day? The planes don't leave in the middle of the day because of the heat and how it would affect the tires.
And also, it's the air. It's weird to say, but it's like, If the air is too hot, the engines can't get enough air through them to lift the plane. Like, the plane can't get up off the ground. Like, if you've ever flown out of, like, Arizona in the summer, it gets a little fun. I'm just going to say that. Where I've been on flights flying out of Arizona where they almost did not get the plane off the ground because there wasn't enough to lift the plane. So that could be another side of it too. We don't know. Like, nobody knows what happened. The talent don't know. And if they do, they're not talking. It produced some incredibly entertaining tweets on Twitter because of it, because everybody was stuck. And so everybody was tweeting about it. But unfortunately, they were all massively delayed, which led to problems for SmackDown, because at Crown Jewel and throughout the week, they've set up SmackDown for Friday, right? Like, The Miz is supposed to interview Bray Wyatt on Miz TV, and we're supposed to have a tag match, and we're supposed to do this, and we're supposed to do that. And oh, hey, by the way, nobody's here. Everybody is either on a plane back from Saudi Arabia or is still in Saudi Arabia. The only person that's supposed to be on SmackDown tonight is Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. And that's pretty much it. They were the only ones from the Saudi crew, I think, that made it back, because the first charter landed like 40 minutes into the show.
No, I was in the first crew, the 20 people came about 15 minutes, landed 15 minutes before the show ended.
There you go.
So before we get, so we can get into it, let's do the SmackDown Throwdown.
Welcome everyone to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world!
By the way, this is the portion of the podcast where we would have recapped the pick'em results, but an intern is slacking.
Yeah. So, I don't know how we did. I know I missed Bray Wyatt because I picked against Bray Wyatt, which was reverse psychology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I was legit, like, over it. Like,
I know.
At that point, it's like, I just can't put my faith there anymore, because it had been unfounded so many times that it was like, I just can't do it anymore. Until he actually wins something, I can't.
So, he won something. He was supposed to have his coronation during Miz TV, but that was not to be. Instead, well,
before we do the official results, let's talk about the atmosphere around this.
Okay.
Because all these travel issues start coming out Friday, and it starts leading to speculation of what is WWE going to do. If anybody remembers, probably, God, 10 years ago now, at least, they had a very similar problem where they had the majority of their crew over in Europe, and the volcano exploded in Iceland, I believe, and it stopped travel from Europe to the United States for like 3 or 4 days. Actually, I think it was almost a week that nobody could get over and nobody could get back. And this led to problems because Raw was supposed to be live, the crew was over in England, and well, they had no crew, and at this time, they had no NXT. So, they pretty much flew everybody they could get their hands on in. Like, Taker showed up at that show.
Hunter was the only Raw main eventer not in Europe.
Because I think he'd had something else going on, and he wasn't there, or he had come back early. or something like that, and that's why he was there.
No, you had a bunch of SmackDown people show up to replay. It was SmackDown covering for Raw that night.
Yeah, because they were back. Mm-hmm. Or they hadn't gone yet, or they didn't go or something. But yeah, it was so bizarre. So this was a really similar circumstance where it's like pretty much the entire roster, with the exception of most of the women, is over in Saudi Arabia. They can't get them back. So it's like, who the hell is going to cover this show? And it's pretty much, you know, everybody's phone started ringing off the hook. Like this was beyond a bad day for Mark Carano. Like he's had a bad couple weeks here. But like, and you know, travel, he had an equally bad day because they pretty much scrambled the jets in the United States and got everybody they could find in the US on this show.
Yeah.
Not kidding. Like Hunter was there.
Yeah. We'll talk. Let's go through it a little bit. All right.
All right.
Open with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, who survived Saudi Arabia, made it back for the show, and Brock's pissed off, and he's all mad and wearing a replica of the WWE Championship, because I think his belt's was on a plane somewhere.
Probably.
Because this belt was nice and shiny and couldn't bend and had generic plates on it.
Which is interesting, because it's like, why wouldn't the title travel with him?
Because he's not there long enough. It was probably tucked away on the actual plane in one of the crates. That's all. I don't think he takes the title with him.
Probably not.
Because
but
he's not traveling. So they keep it for TV. So anyway. So he's out there and Heyman's just going off and he's like, he wants revenge on Rey Mysterio, and they even went to Vince McMahon. Do you know who he is? If you don't, Google him, bitches.
Paul, we all know who Vince is, thanks.
But I like that. Just Google him, bitches. So he said, SmackDown stars are property of Fox, and they can't go anywhere else. And Raw superstars are property of USA, and they can't fight anywhere else. So if Miss Rey Mysterio can't come to SmackDown, then Brock Lesnar's gonna go to Raw to get Mysterio. Who's gonna stop him? You could fine him, suspend him, sue him. My people invented litigation. That's what Heyman said.
I love Heyman sometimes. I really do.
But on behalf of his client, Brock Lesnar, quits SmackDown on Fox and will be showing up on Monday Night Raw to hunt Rey Mysterio.
And he's taking the title with him.
He is. So that solves the question of who the top champion of SmackDown is.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here watching it like, sir, that's not how that works. You have to leave that, sir. You have to leave the, okay. Like, he just walks off with it, and it's like, okay, all right, he's just going to do whatever he wants. So, all right, well, that solves the problem. So Bray Wyatt's now the main champion on SmackDown, and they have the Universal title, and Raw has the World title.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to unify the titles? Like, how is this going to work?
What are they going to do? So, Tom Phillips, Renee Young, and Aiden English were the announced team to start. There were changes throughout the night, which we'll get to.
Once again, scrambled the jets. They found whoever they could find. Kathy Kelly also made her SmackDown debut.
Yeah, like the NXT crew or something showed up. Tom Phillips needs to be on a TV show weekly, not UK TV. He needs to be okay.
Tom Phillips is so good.
He's so good.
Like, I understand why they made the announcing changes that they made, but it's like, I don't understand why they did that to Tom Phillips. No offense to the UK show, but like, Tom Phillips, legit. I miss Phillips, Saxton, and Graves on SmackDown. I really, really do.
Tom Phillips should be hosting SmackDown. He should be the lead announcer, not Michael Cole. I don't understand why Cole is, but that should be Tom Phillips' chair.
It technically should be, but I, again, respect to Michael Cole and respect to why he's there, but it should be Tom Phillips. It really should. Like, it's, yeah.
So, Brock and Heyman are leaving, and backstage, you see Triple H, and then you see Shawn Michaels smiling.
It's called Dad and Dad Took the Kids on a Trip.
So, legit, Shawn Michaels took a trip to SmackDown.
And he brought the kids. He
brought the kids, which we'll talk about who showed up when. Here in a moment. They legit got there 10 minutes before the show. Legit got there 10 minutes before the show. Or it may have been 5 minutes before the show. But they got there right in the nick of time, which is why the Brock segment was first, which is why Ian English was on commentary to start, because it was later Pat McAfee who was on commentary with Renee Young and Tom Phillips later in the show. It is why Sean was in his tracksuit. Just on, because they legit got off the plane, got a police escort to SmackDown. We kicked off with Bayley with Sasha Banks defending the SmackDown Women's Title against Nikki Cross. Good match. Bayley got the win, but the story that came after was Shayna Baszler beat up everybody.
This was such a great surprise. And again, it was all day. Who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? And it's like, you know, Hunter and Steph had been posting on Halloween. And so it's like, okay, Hunter's in the States, which probably means Hunter is going to be on SmackDown because somebody has to do it. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they go down to the PC and they grab everybody they can get their hands on down there, throw them on a plane and send them up to Buffalo, New York, because they need to. And sure enough, there was Hunter, there was Sean, and the first one that shows up is Shayna Baszler. And she put a beat down on Bayley.
Oh, yeah.
And Nikki, but she beat the crap out of Bayley.
Oh, yeah. Those knees, oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's rough. It's like, you know, as good as Bayley's doing the whole heel thing, it's like, Shayna's meaner by a lot.
Yeah. So,
by a whole hell of a lot.
You mentioned Kathy Kelly. She interviewed Sami Zayn. He's talked about how NXT, you know, is here and they're taking advantage. And, well, he said it would be bad news if one of them stepped to him. And then, well, Matt Riddle and Keith Lee just showed up.
Bro.
It's lit. Sami Zayn then sort of sucked up to them and was saying, hey, I was the heart and soul. I have an NXT t-shirt on right here. And he takes off his jacket and it's a black shirt and talked about how he was wearing it earlier, but he didn't want a salad dressing on it. And then, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get it. It's my car. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're just following me. Like, you don't need to follow me. I'm good. We're good. And then Zayn, like, runs away and he's run down onto the
books it.
SmackDown set, and he gets in the ring and he gets his ass kicked by Matt Riddle. And then Keith Lee hit a moonsault from the middle rope.
I just have to say this because this chase ensues and Riddle and Keith Lee are trying to chase Zayn. And they all get to the ring and like Keith Lee gets up on the ropes and he's glaring at Zayn and he's like, no, no, no. And then Matt Riddle gets up on the other side and Matt Riddle gets in the ring and of course he flicks his shoes off. Insane. And like one goes out of the ring and one lands like right at Zayn's feet and Sammy picks it up and hands it back to him as like a peace offering. He's like, here's your shoe. And then he got his ass kicked. This was really good. Like, I really, really like this. It's like, oh, hey, look, there's Matt Riddle and Keith Lee. Awesome.
Awesome. Then you had Miz TV. It was supposed
to be. There was no Bray Wyatt.
No Bray Wyatt, but we got all the setup for it. Then he talked about the NFL elephant in the room. That is NXT. He said he can't wait to see what happens next, and out came Tommaso Ciampa.
Hi, Tommaso.
He talked about how this is supposed to be must-see TV, and he's the most must-see superstar, but Ciampa is the greatest sports entertainer of all time. Ciampa submits acts like this, the entire world revolves around him, but it's time to let him know it. He sits on top of the food chain. Ciampa said Miz is everything that's wrong with WWE. Ciampa said that Miz plays the part, he is the part. Miz says, I've heard the same thing. Everyone's been talking about me and you battling it out on the mic for years, and like you're saying the same thing everyone else has said. And, you know, if he's been acting for 15 years, then he deserves a damn Oscar. The Miz challenged Ciampa to a match.
Okay, I just want to point out, I feel like nobody has been saying they want to see Miz and Ciampa in a mic battle.
Yeah.
Throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an in-ring battle? Oh, hell yeah, sign me up. And that's what we got. And we got a nice little match between Tommaso and Miz in this.
With Tommaso getting the win.
Go Tommaso. Go Tommaso.
So Daniel Bryan walking around backstage and just so happens to come across Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Brian's like, what are you asking? What are they doing? Hunter said he's on an ad for Survivor Series during Crown Jewel. Yes, by the way. It was an ad. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Survivor Series for the first time. And it seemed like someone was calling them out for a fight. And Brian said he's looking for a fight and challenged Triple H. They stare down and Hunter's like, yeah.
Nah, fam, I'm good.
I didn't bring my gear and I don't like wrestling in a suit. And then in the background, Shawn Mike, as Hunter's like backing down from the fight, Shawn's taking off his jacket like he's ready for he's gonna get to a fight. And Hunter's like, I know someone who's ready for a fight. And he looks over at Shawn, and Shawn says, yeah, I'm cold. Let me put my jacket back on. It's not gonna be Shawn, but Shawn's sort of like, yep, I'm gonna be the one fighting. And the crowd in the background, you heard go, ooh, wasn't Shawn.
Yeah, Sean's like, I got this, babe. And then Hunter's like, no,
it's cold.
Not you.
It's cold, put your jacket back on. He then said, come over here, champ. Walked over Adam Cole. Bebe. So, Bryan said if they're going to do this, they should do it right. Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan for the NXT Championship.
Sign me up, dude. Just sign me up for this.
Oh, yeah.
Internet lost its mind, and the best part of this whole thing is Britt Baker tweets out, he was sitting on the couch 6 hours ago watching TV with me, by the way.
Yeah. 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 So there you go. That's your main event, which we'll get to in a moment. It was supposed to be Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville against Carmella and Dana Brooke, but Dana and Carmella were taken out by Bianca Belair.
Jesus, she put a whooping up on them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't seen one that convincing in a really, really long time. Like, she, poor Dana, she just, like, smacked Dana around like she was a rag doll. It was awesome, but it was bad. Like, it was just like, ooh, that looks like it hurts. Ooh, damn.
So, after that, Mandy and Sonya in the ring, and then out came their new opponents. Rhea Ripley, Tegan Nox.
Can I just say how much I like this pairing?
Good pairing.
Because I really like this pairing.
We're going to have more about that pairing in a minute. But yeah, they beat up Mandy and Sonya. Poor Renee, though.
Renee took a foot to the face.
Mm-hmm.
She's never doing commentary again because she's like, nope. Like, one night, I come back for one night and I get kicked in the face. Nope, I'm done.
So Rhea made Mandy tap out.
With a really awesome finisher.
The inverted cloverleaf, yeah. Really cool.
Because it just shows how powerful Rhea is. Because she's, like, literally holding Mandy's legs and just holding her up, dangling her to get her to tap. Like, it's incredibly impressive looking.
Then you had your main event.
Yeah, well, before that, we also had a little ass slapping going on between Rhea and Tegan.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Then you but again, event. Really love this pairing.
Main event, NXT Championship, Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan. Stephanie came out to talk about the women, which we talked about earlier. But Shawn and Hunter were at ringside watching. And Shawn Michaels fanboyed this entire match.
I think he was fanboying for them both. Because yep. I believe he trained Daniel Bryan.
He did.
But yeah, Shawn Michaels is kind of halfway in love with Adam Cole.
Oh yeah.
Just a little bit, because I think, and you can see it in Adam, that Sean's kind of been working with him a little bit, and putting a little bit more polish on him, not that he needs it.
Adam's in Sean's class.
Yeah, but you can see the Sean rubbing off on Adam, and you can kind of almost see the Adam rubbing off on Sean. And yeah, Sean was so excited, he was cheering for Adam, it was adorable. I think he was really cheering for them both, but he was, like, all into Adam.
Sean popped out of his chair when Adam Cole hit the super kick, like, oh yeah, that's my boy.
Because, you know, when Shawn Michaels asks you, do you want to learn how to do the super kick, you say yes.
They had a really good match. Really, really good.
I could take about 20 more of these and wouldn't complain. I mean, good God.
And this was the first time they've ever wrestled. First time?
It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Please give me more of this.
Adam Cole retains his championship.
No surprise.
No surprise, but if you wanted to send a moment, Daniel Bryan winning the NXT championship, that would have been a story.
That would have been a story.
But no, so they celebrated the ring, the NXT roster came out. Hunter said, you want to pick a fight with us, Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. You want to build an army, you look to your blood, you look to your family. This is our army, this is our fight, this is our ring. And Survivor Series, you know what you're getting into. We have now fired the first shot. Raw, SmackDown, let's see what you got. Remember one thing, we are NXT.
It was a really great closing shot to see all of the top stars from NXT there, minus the rest of Undisputed Era.
Strong was there, though.
Strong was there, but they didn't have O'Reilly and Fish there, because I don't think they had any tag teams that they could wrestle, so they didn't bring them in. But this was just This was a wonderful episode of SmackDown. It was really entertaining. It was surprising because, again, you didn't know who was going to show up, because it's who did they have available, who were they able to get a hold of, and who did they bring in.
They called on the Yellow Brand.
Which is smart. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, they're all there in Orlando. All you have to do is charter a jet, essentially, and throw them all on a plane, and they can have them up there in a couple hours. But you need to give people time to get ready. And they did, so that's why they were very, very tight in getting there. Because it's like, you got to round everybody up, then you got to get them to an airport. Then you got to get them there. So, you know. But yeah, this was a great, great episode. I'd like to point out that the ratings for SmackDown this week went back up. Not like all the way back up, but they saw an increase in the ratings despite the fact that none of the top SmackDown stars were there. Which speaks to NXT, I feel.
It does, and hopefully that helps bump up.
I shouldn't say none of the top SmackDown stars, because Dana Bryan was there, but...
And Bayley and Sasha, but yeah.
And Bayley and Sasha, but, you know, some of the other guys. Bray, mm-hmm. Roman, you know, your more mainstays aren't there.
And for the record, Vince McMahon produced this show. So everyone's clear, it was a Vince McMahon show. Boy, it was good.
It was really good. I really liked it. Like I said, it was incredibly entertaining because, again, you can't push any storylines. So essentially they came up with a brand new storyline, or they launched a new storyline tonight with NXT, quote unquote, invading SmackDown, which I love angles like this, because basically, all right, you guys can't be here, so we're going to show up and we're going to run your show and we're going to do it better than you. And what are you going to do about it when you get back?
But speaking of NXT, let's do a little tiny, tiny bit of the NXT rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
The main reason I wanted to talk about this show is because Lindsay mentioned Tegan Nox and Rhea Ripley and how they're a team, because they're going to be a team
when they go to war.
Y'all.
Female war games. And NXT TakeOver War Games in Chicago.
I'm so here for this.
Okay, so let me recap this a little bit. So Tegan and Dakota took on Asuka and Kairi. Hell of a tag team title match. Hell of a tag team title match. Make sure you all go watch it on WWE Network, because it's available there now. That's one. So after the match, you had Shayna come out with her girls, and Tegan and Dakota are being down because Dakota got the mist in her face, so it's like they're going to take advantage. But then you had Rhea come out, and you had Candice come out, and you had Io come out, and you had all the girls and Bianca come out, and they're all brawling. And then William Regal comes out on the little platform thing and says, "Stop, I've had enough," and announces, "Hey, there's only one thing to do to settle this. War games."
Thank you, Uncle William. We're so used to giving, and now we're receiving. Thank you very much, Uncle William. You know how to take care of business.
So it's Tegan, Dakota, Candace, and Rhea versus Shayna, her girls, Io, Bianca. That's 5 versus 4. We need a fifth for the other side, which probably will be Mia Yim.
Probably, yeah.
Which makes sense. But they're doing female war games. Female war games.
I really love this because they've let the girls do some hardcore stuff in the past, but they haven't let them do something quite on this level. Like, Hell in a Cell is one thing, and Hell in a Cell is awesome, but this is War Games. War Games is a little different, and NXT has set a standard with War Games in terms of it being incredibly violent, incredibly bloody, and them just going all out on it. So I have little doubt that the women are not going to rise to that challenge. Candice LeRae, case in point, posted a picture of herself with a full crimson mask next to Joey Ryan holding a title, saying they don't know what they've done. I mean, she's not wrong. But I fully expect all of these women to bring it and just be fantastic in this.
Pretty much. There will be a men's war games as well, it seems. Or at least that was the plan. Because at the end of the show, Ciampa went and looked at Goldie and went, "You're going to have to wait.
Daddy's going to war."
Tommaso.
So, there you go. So that's a quick NXT rundown. We're not going to do the whole thing. It was a good show. Check it out on the network right now. Watch it every Wednesday on the USA Network. should be interesting where things go. But I think that does it for us.
I think it does. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, CB Radio, midnight, NFCRealLive.com. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. We can't remember things out on Raw. We'll be NXT Invasion. We'll have to see. We'll be back next Thursday. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Mac Extra reviews. WWE 2K20, that is available now. Make sure you go listen to that. Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WGRLive so you never go live for the WWE 2K My Career Mode stuff. We go live for Fortnite with friends. Maybe you have Amazon Prime, they can do a Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Shroud Left, Ninja Left, they're all leaving. We're still here, so give us your sub now. Use creator code.
Please.
Please do a thing. And use creator code RocketSack in the Fortnite Random Shop. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitch at Lins Ward, LensWard. And don't forget to check out the regular show, which airs every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be back to our regular schedule because guess what, guys? I'm done traveling for work for right now. So yay! We should be back on track for the foreseeable future, barring the holidays, which are very fast approaching. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Crown Jewel Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week at our normal time. Till then, bye! When ashes fall, the legends rise.